You know, I was. I want to thank you guys for your hospitality, for all the meals y'all have allowed us to enjoy, and just overabundance. This has really been my experience ever since I got saved. This is where I came to know the Lord, and through a person from this church. And so ever since I got saved, that's always been, you know, something that's I've noticed is different. You know, this place is different. I haven't been anywhere else, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I mean people here are just you know, good brothers, good brethren, you know. And you know, one thing that's the Lord's given me, that, you know, I'm just so thankful, is that, you know, we have this feeling among us, you know, and if you don't feel it, then, you know, I think you're missing out. But, when somebody has a heartache around here, you know, I think the majority of us, or all of us, you know, we feel it too, you know. And when somebody, is, you know, when it's going good for somebody, well, we feel it too. You know, and it's, you know, it's not anything, you know, out of pity, or it's not out of envy, but it's because we're brothers. You know, when I see, you know, you happy, I'm happy. You know, and I just thank the Lord for this feeling that He's given me to be a part of this group, and also to enjoy the good things of life, not the things that I used to think was good, but the good things of life. You know, and as I was thinking about last week when we started this conference, and I gave you the business side of what I thought the Lord's work was, you know, and I started thinking about that, and that was basically my message, you know, that we're involved in our Father's business, and that business is to win souls. But tonight I want to focus on the first part of that question that Jesus said. You know, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And I want to focus on that must part tonight. You know, as I started thinking about, you know, when he said, I must, you know, when God saved me, you know, I don't know if this is you too, but when God saved me, he put his spirit inside of me, and he put a must spirit inside. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just gotta get up and share. You know, I just gotta get up and do something, cause he put the spirit in me. I can't just sit there, you know? And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit more for someone to do it, you know, like the brother was talking about last night, you know, going beyond our power. And, that is so true. You know, I still have at my house, I still have the first, I had three index cards, that I wrote my message down when I used to go to the Alamo, and I used to just read those index cards. And I still got them at home, and every now and again, you know, I'll flip through them, whatever. I said, boy, you know, I remember preaching it, but I was so scared, you know, just so scared. But it was something inside of me said, man, you gotta do this. You have to get out there and do it. Because why? Because this is just the next step. You know, I was born again, and I'm just growing. You know, and I just gotta grow. You can't be somebody that just, you know, wanna say, okay, I don't wanna do this, because I believe it's the will of God for you to increase in knowledge and work and all this. It's just God's will. And as I was thinking about this, we must be about our Father's business, I started thinking about all the men, you know, that were doing, God's business. And one person that came to mind, I want to touch on him. It's in Jonah. And, I just want to pull out verse 8 and give you, some things that I thought about in Jonah chapter 1, verse 8. I want to give you some, you know, I guess it's going to be a 4-point message here. I saw these things in here, in this verse, and it really spoke to me. You know, Jonah, we read about Jonah, and we know that God spoke to him, and instead of going to do what the will of God was, he went the other way, you know? And I believe, man, there's a little bit of Jonah in each one of us, you know? I mean, every Christian goes through the experience of Jonah, you know? I mean, if you haven't, you know, maybe you're not doing nothing. But when we get down to doing something, you know, there's going to come a point where we, you know, kind of we don't know what to do. But you know what? I started looking at this and I started looking at these questions. Look what it says here in verse 8. It says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is evils upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" Four questions right here that I started looking at them. I thought, you know, this is these are some amazing questions. You know, if you go through the Bible, you know, every now and again, I guess Brother Lindell, you know, told me this a long time ago. Sometimes when you read the Bible and it gets so routine, you got to find different ways to excite yourself again, you know, reading the Bible. And one way, you know, that I found is to look at the questions that God puts in here. You know, I mean, to me, that's exciting, you know, and applying those questions to me, you know. And I started looking at this, you know, and they asked Jonah, "What is thy occupation?" Well, you know, I want to pose this question to us. You know, what is our occupation? You know, Jonah was running from the will of God. You know, he paid the fare and he got on the boat and he took off. Well, you know, it doesn't pay to be out of the will of God. As a matter of fact, you know, it cost him a lot, you know, to be out of the will of God. His occupation wasn't to be running. You know, we are called, the Bible says, to fight in this battle. Isn't that true? And what I thought about this, I said, you know, his occupation was to take the message, to be a messenger. And the verse that came to my mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to turn there. Chapter 6, it says here, remember, all I want to touch on is these four questions. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." You see, this is great. Paul, he says, "We then, being as workers together with him." You know, that's exactly what we are. Our occupation is to be about, we must be about our Father's business, but we are workers together, and it says here, with him.
Amen.
You know, I don't think there's been a bigger businessman, a wiser businessman than our Lord. You know, he is. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. He has a plan how to accomplish his work, and he involves us in it. I think that's such a privilege. His occupation was to take a message to somebody. And that's what we're a part of. Our occupation, if you think you are a carpenter, if you think you are a salesman, if you think you are all this first, you got it backwards. You know? I think we are a servant to the one who saved us. That's what we do. We are Christians first. Yeah, we might, you know, the Lord, you know, gave you that job so you could live. You know, he gave you what you have so you can, be a partaker of his occupation, of his business, saving souls. You know, this has been the best thing that I ever did was start giving to missions. I was one of the best, and it was one of the biggest, I think one of the biggest steps of faith that I took, you know, because, man, you know, as a young couple, you know, Karen and I, you know, we were in debt, you know, a little bit, not much, but, you know, a little bit, you know, and you know, it's kind of tough, but man, you know, when somebody stands up here and says, you know, you got some people out there, and they're faithful to preach the gospel, you know, and they're doing the job, and you're sitting in here, and you're supposed to be helping them, because you're workers together with Christ. You know, I couldn't just sit there. I said, man, I'm not being responsible in the business of Christ by just sitting there and just saying, well, just turning the, it's easy to turn the other, you know, just turn the other way and just say, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. But you know, you're missing out. You're just missing out. We must be about our Father's business. All the days of our life, from the minute we got saved, it should be the attitude of being about our Father's business. If you're not involved in witnessing, if you're not involved in, I mean, I'm talking about a ministry. I'm talking about, I think Marty, you know, touched on, you know, a little bit about even your household. even your children, your husband, your wife, that is a ministry too, to taking the gospel to them. You know, if you're married with children, man, right there is your mission field. You don't have to go out your door. Man, we have ministries and we should be occupied in doing all these things for our Lord Jesus Christ. This should be the norm. This should be something that we should do with no sour faces, you know, with no regrets. We should be happy to minister, to tell our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was so blessed when we got our daughter. Our daughter's 2.5 years old now. And, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride ever since we got her. I mean, you know, she has a character on her. But you know, the best thing that I love about the, you know, the ministry that God has given me to raise this child, for His glory is that, you know, teaching her who Jesus is. Just a, you know, little bitty thing, you know, and I tell her, you know, Lauren, who made the sky? She says, Jesus. You know, even though she's not really, I don't think she understands, you know, all this, whatever, but I'm starting. You know, the other day we were at home and sitting in the living room, you know, Sunday afternoon, I think, or I don't know when, and, you know, back in Mexico, and me and my wife watching a basketball game or something, and we look outside, out in the front yard, and my daughter's out there with, you know, we think it was the Lord's table that she had out there with our dog. And she's out there distributing the little cups, you know, and preaching, you know, because that's what she sees. You know what I'm saying? The other day we were in Bill Miller's and there was a lady in there eating, reading a novel or something, some low story. And she walks by and we're on our way out, you know, and she walks by and she goes, oh, reading the Bible. And she walks because it's normal to her. You know what I'm saying? This is a blessing that I see. I'm thinking she's growing up thinking, you know, that this is what everybody is doing. You know, and it's great. This is a ministry, raising your children for the Lord. Not only, I mean, yes, we need to be concerned with missions, but God's business is much more. It's much more than just reaching out, you know, abroad, beyond the borders, over the sea. It's much more. We need to start in our house. We need to start in our own community. We need to start in ourselves. We need to work together with Christ. Another thing I saw, another question was, the second one was, where comest thou? You know, I started thinking about this and I said, you know, I gotta be about my Father's business because look at where I came from. I mean, you know, my last boss was Satan. You know what I'm saying? I worked for him. Romans chapter 6. Look what it says here. I mean, when I read these, I was having a blast too, because as I was thinking about these questions, these verses were coming to mind, you know? And look what it says here in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. It says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. It says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I want to stop there. But it says here, but God be thanked. It says here that ye were the servants of sin. You know, that's where I came from. You know, I serve sin, and I touched a little bit about this on Sunday. We serve sin with joy. You know, we should use that same power, that same zeal that we used to serve sin, because glory be to God, thank God that I'm now not a servant to that sin. Amen. I am a servant to a risen Savior. Amen. You know, that same Lord that came out of that tomb, you know, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, like the Bible said, He now has given me the earnest of His Spirit. Man, it's just a token there. And you know, one day I'm going to be with Him. Well, you know, I started thinking about this. None of us should have this kind of mentality that, no, you know, I don't feel like doing it, or I don't want to do it, or I don't want to do more. I don't want to do beyond my power. No, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. No, remember where you came from. Remember the depths that Jesus had to pull you out. Do you remember that? I tell you, you know, a lot has been said too about about the different ministries around here, the songs and stuff. And if you sing, you know, that's a good ministry, and playing the guitar and, you know, whatever. You know, God is so good that he can use any of this to speak to somebody. I remember when I got saved in this church and Debbie Royal sung, How Can I Say No? If you read the words, that's missions. That's a mission song, you know? But I'm sitting back there, and all week long I've been coming to these meetings. It was during a mission conference I got saved. All week long I'm sitting back there, and when she sung the song, it was, you know, I guess the last Sunday. And all that was ringing in my head was, how can you say no? You know? But I wasn't talking about a mission field. I seriously, how can you say, why don't you get up there and confess Christ before everybody? Why don't you just get up and he wants to save you. I tell you, God uses many, many things, many ministries. Don't knock your ministry. Whatever your gift is, don't knock it. God can use it. I mean, whatever it is. Yes, God has ordained the preaching to save those. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. But God can use a song, you know? God can use a faithful father to show his children about Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's a ministry. Whenever we get tired, whenever we get down and we say, I want to give up, remember where you came from. Remember where God pulled you out and set you and made you a son. And I tell you, we have to go forward. When we think about these things, we say, how can I go back? Another thing, another question. It says, what is thy country? I started thinking, well, what is your country? You know, is this my country? When I cross that border, every time, man, and that border patrolman goes, what nationality are you? You know, I have no idea anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's like I've been there for 5 years. You know, I'm thinking, you know, American, United States. I get confused sometimes. You know, this is not our country. You know what I'm saying? By the grace of God, I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I was born here. By the grace of God, you know, I mean, this is a great country, and he's blessed this country with the gospel. And because of that, you know, I heard it and I got saved and I'm thankful. But my effort and my work and my desire and all my strength shouldn't be for this country. It shouldn't be to lay treasure here. Look what it says in Hebrews. There's a verse that came to mind, and I know you know it too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, that should be the country that we should be worried about. That we should be consumed about. You know, so what? We lose some things here, but why? Because our desire is for another country, beyond these stars, beyond all this. There is another country. And this country, it says here plainly, God is not ashamed. He's not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Ain't that what Jesus said? Ain't that what Jesus said? He's gone to prepare some mansions for each one who trusts him. But you know, many times we get tied up in you know, just living too much for this life, you know? And I mean, I'm not going to get any farther than that, but I just don't see the point in really us putting God's business aside, or secondary, or third, or fourth, or fifth, whenever I have time. I just can't see any of us who are called to be his sons to do that. We need to be children of God first. Always first. Why? Because that's our occupation. We are to tell the people of the joy of the salvation of God. You know? We need to do this because what God did for us. You know, way back then, none of us deserve anything. No mercy. We don't deserve anything. But God, in his infinite, you know, wisdom, he said, I want you. And he sent somebody there to preach to you. You know, the last question, what people art thou? You know, I started thinking, what kind of people are we? You know, we should be a people occupied and worried about doing God's business, glorifying God. We should be a people, a thankful people. We really should be a thankful people. We should be praising God, thanking God, sacrificing for God. And why? He is our God. He's our Savior. Look what it says here, and I want to touch on, I want to focus a little bit more on this verse. There in chapter 11, verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what kind of people we should be? We should be a kind of people that have respect for what God did for us. The recompense that we have. You know, as I thought about this, I thought, our Lord and Savior, he accomplished his Father's business all the way to the end. You know, he left for us an example. You know, it says over there in the Gospels that they spit on him. Isn't that what it says? It says that they smote him. It says that they just reproached him. They pulled his beard. They did so many things to him, and yet he kept on going. You know, the Bible says he never opened his mouth. He didn't open his mouth. When he was there, you know, people were yelling at him, mocking him. No, because why? He had a job to do. He had accomplished his Father's business. He had to do it. We must do it. You know, as I thought about this, I'm thinking we need to have respect for what God is doing, for his plan of salvation. And you know, when I thought about the word respect means honor, to esteem something, to highly regard something. And you know, I can't think of a better way than just giving our lives to him. I can't think of a better way to honor what he has done for us. I can't think of a better way to esteem the salvation that God has given us and just turn everything over to him. You know, I see that that's what the church did, you know, in the early days. You know, it grew, man. You know, I heard something over the radio the other day, and it was a great statement, I thought. He said that the early church, they did so much with so little, and we do so little with so much. You know, and when I thought about that, I thought, that is so true. I mean, I look at everything I've done, and it's not a lot. It's not a lot. I mean, I haven't, you know, done a lot. But, you know, I think we all need to be worried about accomplishing our Father's business because he has been so good to us. Amen.